part two. We did part one some time ago, and there is a number of series that I will conduct over the next number of months. And this is the second part of it. The purpose of this program is to be master of the scripture. Most of you study the Word of God. Most of you are diligent Bible studies. I've been a Bible study, Bible student over the years. And what I'm going to present is some of the things that I've learned over the years as a Bible student myself, and as a pastor, as I study the Word of God. And I've come to realize that if we are to really be solid in our faith and in our relationship with the Lord, the Bible, the scripture plays a very important part in our faith relationship with the Lord. So this has been my passion over the years as I'm pastoring. I'd like to impart some of the skills that I've learned so that you yourself become the fishers of the word. As the saying goes, you don't give fish to someone, but you teach them how to fish so that they can get as much as themselves. So this afternoon, I'd like to thank you all for joining me. It's a short study, and I'd like you to take note of the points that will be raised today. But before we get into our study today, I'd like you to bow your heads as I offer a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. Father, today we want to thank you for the blessings of the Sabbath. We thank you, Lord, for your great love that you have for us. We thank you for your protection and care over this period when we are going through some dark moments of the earth's history. And Lord, we thank you today that we can come before your presence and sit down and learn from you. I ask the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, he will teach us today of your word. And I ask a special blessing on your students today. Thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you for answering as you always do. We ask all these blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. You would notice a verse there put up on the screen there. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is a verse for all the Bible teachers. If you want to teach Bible, remember this verse. This verse, Apostle Paul says, we have to study the scripture to master it. Not unto man, but it says unto God. All right? We study unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Okay? To be very confident when you are teaching the word of God. And you are not ashamed because you are rightly dividing the word of truth as it should be. Shared or divided to your Bible students. So that's what we're going to do today. The title of our session today is called Bible Bites. It's just bits and pieces of stuff that we're going to chew today. It's going to be short, sharp, and something that you will remember. Now, this is the verse that I've read earlier on. I'm reading it again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's another one, John chapter 17, verse 3. To those of you who have been part of my study in the last session, you will recall that I've based my first part of the study on this particular verse here, where Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the important word here is knowing thee, to know God. And the scripture is all about God. John 5:39 says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which they testify about me. So the Bible is all about Christ, so we want to know him. And the only way to know him is to know him through the scripture. Not know him through the scripture. But, you know, last time I said that there are two parts to knowing. The scripture. There is the head knowledge and there is the heart knowledge. The head knowledge is just basic knowledge about the scripture. The heart knowledge is the most important part of knowing God is that what do you do with the knowledge that you learn? Do you just gather it as, you know, you read it as a newspaper, forget it, and wait for the next news headline? Or you actually grasp that knowledge that you learn from the scripture and you have to make a decision, because it goes right deep into the soul. It gets into your spirit. And that is the decision of having a relationship with the one that the Bible talks about, which is Christ, which is God himself. So that's the head knowledge. A lot of people have the head knowledge, but they have not made use of the head knowledge, which is the head knowledge should lead you to the heart knowledge, which is a relationship with the Lord. And basically, this verse is talking about the heart knowledge. But without the head knowledge, you wouldn't know the heart knowledge, which is the relationship. So when we study the Bible and have a good head knowledge, get a good grasp of the scripture, that should help us towards making our decision towards the heart knowledge, which is a relationship with the Lord. All right. Knowing the scriptures, some of the basic revisions now. I'm getting into the revisions. The last time that we did was, first of all, you have to know the books by heart, from Genesis down to Revelation. You try to memorize them and recall them in order. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so forth, right down to the book of Revelation. And try to reverse it around the back, from book of Revelation and Jude and so forth. Come back right down to the book of Revelation. Those are sort of like seen as kindergarten stuff that belongs to kid. But if you think about it very carefully, those are very important building blocks towards your Bible knowledge. So even before you start teaching the Word of God, you should be basing your knowledge on those basic important building blocks. And one of the first things that you have to know is to know the books by order, from Genesis right down to the book of Revelation. The other one that we learned is that you got to know the chapters of the books. How many chapters does the book of Genesis have? How many chapters does the book of Judges have? How many chapters does the book of Proverbs have? How many chapters does the book of Obadiah have? And how many chapters does the book of Revelation have? And so forth. So those are building blocks. Those are basic things that you have to know as a Bible student. It has to be recorded in your head. and then you get down to the verses. Like, how many chapters does the book of Genesis chapter 1 have? Now, this is the most difficult part of it, which I don't expect that many of you would fully grasp it. But if you do, that's a very valuable gem that you can head into your Bible skills. Chapters are okay. It's not that easy. I mean, not that hard. You can know the chapters of every book. But to know the verses of every book is quite challenging. And I do not expect you to get there, but I would expect you to try it out, venture into it. And so long as you can know the chapters, verses of many chapters in Scripture, just the number of chapters, just like how many chapters does the book of Psalms chapter 1 has, you know? Something like that. Six chapters anyway, so six verses. So those are the building blocks that you start from. And then the words, very important to know some important words in the scripture, just like love is a very important word, patience, joy, and so forth. And also the phrases in scripture. All right, let's move on. The basics, scripture sections. One of the important part of the scripture is to know that the Bible itself is, even though it has 66 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New, you add them together. It has 66 books in the whole scripture, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. But the scripture itself is divided into three sections, just like a law or just like a constitution in the courts or in the government. The Bible itself is like a constitution too. It has three sections. And those sections are mentioned in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Jesus said something about the law, the prophets, and the writings. The law, the prophets, and the writings. And maybe I should read this verse just to see what Jesus actually said there. Very important. Those are some building blocks, and just remember that. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. It says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So the Old Testament Bible, which was the first scripture, is basically divided into three sections: the Torah, which is the law, and the prophets, the writings of other prophets, and then it says the writings, which sometimes is referred to as the Psalms, which of course refers to books like the Book of Psalms, the Book of Proverbs, the Book of Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, and so forth. Or sometimes you would, as a way to memorize them, you can remember the three P's: Pentateuch, Prophets, and Psalms, as another easy way to remember. If you want to summarize the law, the prophets, and writing, you can put it a different way, which is the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the scripture, the prophets, and the Psalms. So it's P, P, P. All right, let's get into... That was our revision. That's what basically we covered in the last session. Now into our next section, which is section B. It's called the Bible Bites. What is the Bible Bite? All right. I'd like to talk about the four things today. Is when I say Bible Bites, I mean just, you know, it's like a food, you know, it's a small bite that you hit. Something that you can remember. It's sharp, it's solid. It's something that should be in your head. And at the end of this session, you should remember it. And whenever you want to do Bible studies, start with the bites. Start with the bites first. The first one in which I say is like the beautiful books. And then you have the cool chapters. And then you have what I said, the voucher verses. And the final one, like the beautiful words, which I will cover if time permits us. But I just want to talk about the first three. The beautiful books, the cool chapters, the voucher verses. What do I mean by that? The beautiful books. Of the 66 books in the Bible, there's some that is quite beautiful. When you look at them, they're very, very rich. And those are the books that I put them under the category as beautiful. For myself, when I study all the books of the Bible are beautiful, but this seems to be more beautiful and very brilliant, very nice to read. And some of those books are like these books, the Book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. And I like to read it a lot of times because it reminds me of how the world started. It reminds me of time. It reminds me of my history. It reminds me and all of us of where we are coming from and where we are heading. Without the book of Genesis, people will have no purpose and meaning in life. I mean, you look at the world today. Basically, people have no meaning in life because there is no sense of living. Because, you know, we wake up and we say, what am I here for? You know, that's a big philosophical question that a lot of very learned men and women ask, you know, when they think about life, what am I here for? Where have I come from and where am I heading? Otherwise, we're just repeating history. A person is born and then he grows up as a child, he goes to school, he goes to college, university, gets a job, and then he earns a living and then raises up a family. And then, you know, life is like a circle. It just keeps going around in a circle. But if you want to be wise and want to know the real meaning of life, the book of Genesis actually tells it, especially the first few chapters. So it's one of those beautiful books because it tells you about the history of the nations. You actually see those first 10 chapters, from chapter 1 down right down to chapter 12, where Abram is being called. So that's a beautiful book. The book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a good book. It's, you know, the Torah itself, which is the first five books of the scripture, which is called the law book. But I find it that the actual law book is the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is actually tells you all this. Moses write all this. It's almost like a constitution. God has a constitution, and he gives you all these laws put out in for humanity to look at and to read and live and find meaning at. So the book of Deuteronomy covers all the laws that God gave, including the Ten Commandments, which is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So Deuteronomy is a book of laws, the statutes and decrees, and I would encourage you, it's a beautiful book. Try to read right through all 31 chapters and grasp the things that are written there. They're really fine principles and beautiful laws that God has put, not only for the nation of Israel, it's put for all of us. The book of Psalms, it's a beautiful book. Beautiful book. It's a book of many hymns and prayers. And, you know, we live in a very depressed world. And if you want to find some meaning and purpose in life, read the book of Psalms. It's written by most of it is written by David. But there's some others, like Psalms 90 was written by Moses. And they found meaning and purpose in God, and they've expressed their hearts to God. And the human experiences that we undergo today can be found in those the book of Psalms, because the people who wrote it are human beings just like you and me, who went through some of the challenges in life, and many of the challenges are similar to our challenge today. So Psalms is a beautiful book. The book of Proverbs, you find wisdom in there. You find a lot of wisdom in there. You know, there is a great difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the abstract learning that you get from universities. But wisdom tells you how to apply the knowledge. That's wisdom. And I remember one of my friends many years ago, he is one of my Muslim friends. And he said, this is what he said. He said, son, the world is filled with people with knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Only few people have wisdom, and you will only find wisdom in the Word of God. So study the Word of God, because the Word of God will give you wisdom. And with wisdom, it tells you how to apply knowledge in life. So that was a very beautiful advice I received from one of my friends years ago, and it is true. So Proverbs is a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. The book of Ecclesiastes, beautiful book. The experience of King Solomon. Just read that, especially the chapter 1 and chapter 2. It tells about everything that man wants and ventured to get it. Solomon said, I got everything. And then towards the end, in chapter 12, he says, vanity of vanities, it's just all meaningless. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Right? So if you want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, about what life is, what you're doing here, read the book of Ecclesiastes. It will make you wiser, very settled. And it will probably get you out of your anxiety as well, too. It's a beautiful book. The book of Daniel. Oh, that's a very brilliant book. Chapter 2 gives you a prophetic outline of all these great powers that God says will rise out of this earth, right down to the end of time, where the kingdom of God will come. So it's a very amazing book, beautiful book. Spend time, read that. If you're concerned about the last days, you want to concern about what's happening in the future, read Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7. see all those big powers that God said would come, come to this world. And then, of course, the Gospels. When I say Gospel, is Matthew, Mark, Luke. And, those are the beautiful books. The Gospels are the story of Jesus Christ. And if you want to find the most beautiful section of the Scripture, it's the Gospel. The Gospel, because the whole Bible is all about Christ. And here Christ came. And some of the high witnesses are writing about what Jesus did. And it's a whole beautiful story, beautiful day. Read the Gospels. Read the book of Matthew. Read the book of Mark. The book of Mark is especially about miracles. You will notice that Matthew records miracles. Luke records miracles. The book of John records miracles. But some of the miracles which are not found in those books are actually found in the book of Mark. So read the story of Mark. And of course, I separate the gospel from John. John itself is a beautiful book too. It's amazing because it's a little bit different from the other gospels. The other gospels are about, it's a narrative about what Jesus did. But in the book of John, is a narrative that John tries to tell us that Jesus is God himself. So you would notice that he writes a lot about this I am. You remember I am? When Moses approached the burning bush in Genesis chapter 3, you read that story, and he came closer and God finds himself talking to God. And Moses asked for his name. He said, "Who are you and what's your name? If I have to go down to Egypt and if they ask me, what is your name, what will I say?" And God uses this theological or this name that he uses. He says, I am who I am. The word I am is something that is it's present and it's eternal. And the same phrase is being used in the book of John where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the shepherd. I am the true vine," and so forth. You see, this term is being used in the book of John, I am. And John is trying to tell you that Jesus is God. He is the one that was prophesied to come. He's actually here. So John is a very unique book. It's completely different from the other three Gospels. And I'd like you to read that and spend time studying it. The book of Romans. I think of all the epistles that Apostle Paul wrote, this is the most outstanding one, but very difficult to understand as well. It is a beautiful book about God's love and especially about his salvation, but he uses three big terms in here. He uses justification and sanctification and glorifications. We are justified by faith. All the legal languages are used here. It's quite tough to understand the book of Romans. I don't blame you for that, but try to read it. It's a great mind. Paul writes about sin and the grace of God, and about the balance between grace and law, and so forth. So that's a beautiful book. And then, of course, I've jumped some of the couple of books. I find the book of Revelation as an amazing book, amazing book, because it talks about the last days. So those are some of the beautiful books I've selected out from the entire scripture, which I sort of felt that those books actually enrich you, and we try to spend a lot of time on it and study it. You might have your own category of beautiful books, and that's okay. What I'm trying to say is try to find some of the books that you consider beautiful. This is the ones that I personally consider beautiful, because they are very strong messages that come through, and especially some of them that enriches your personal life. All right, let's get to the second one, which I call cool chapters. All right? Cool chapters. There's some chapters in the scripture which are very cool. You just have to memorize them. For instance, Genesis chapter 1. It's a cool chapter. It's about the creation of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So try to memorize it. I don't expect you to. I've tried to memorize it. It's quite tough to memorize. I'm still trying to get some verses right. But it's a cool chapter. Exodus chapter 20. It talks about the law of God. The Ten Commandments that God gave to the children of Israel. That is a cool chapter. And as Christians, I expect you to memorize these verses. And God spoke this word saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So you can read the whole, right down to verse 17. It's a cool chapter. Jumped again. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 is a cool chapter. Chapter 7, I didn't put up there. It talks about, as I mentioned, the the countdown or the prophetic nations that would arise, the superpowers, right down to the end of time where Christ's kingdom will come. Psalms chapter 1 is another cool chapter, the beginning of the book of Psalms. Blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of God, and in his law do they meditate day and night. All right? And you read the following verses down to verse 6. That's a cool chapter. Psalms 23, a chapter that I've sent through WhatsApp to some of you to memorize. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside green pastures. Now I have to get this one right. It's flipping out of my memory now. Let me check it out. You see, this is the thing about memorizing scripture. If you do memorize scripture, you have to just from time to time before you sleep, just try to get this thing into your head and let it stay there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of Seder of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy staff and the rod, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's a cool chapter. Try to get it. Psalm chapter 90, chapter 91, cool chapters. Psalms chapter 100 talks about worship on Sabbath morning, cool chapter. Psalms 103, a beautiful chapter. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the scripture. I don't expect you to memorize everything, but it's a cool chapter. Occasionally get in there and see some of the beautiful things that are written there. Psalms 109. It's the book on psychology. If there is someone who understands you far better, it's God himself. Thou hast searched me and known me, O God. All right? This is David writing about our human makeup, about our mind, and everything about us that God knows. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and I acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether, and so forth. And then he comes to verse 14, where he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well. So it's a beautiful chapter. Some of the chapters, Messianic chapters, are like chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 53, Messianic chapters. But from chapter 40 right down to 65, these chapters are all Messianic chapters. I don't expect you to memorize them, but because they are messianic chapters, as disciples of Christ, as people of God, it pays well to read those chapters. Even though Christ has already come, we need to read them, especially Isaiah chapter 53, which is a graphic description of what the Messiah will do when he comes. And he did fulfill that particular chapter. And some of the cool chapters in the New Testament are like the Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Very cool chapter. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 24 to 25, Jesus tells about the end of time, the signs that are associated with it, and he's coming back to this earth. Again, the book of John, John chapter 1, John chapter 4, John chapter 3. Chapter 4 is experience with a conversation with the Samaritan women. Very nice chapter to read about, because in that chapter, the woman says, we know that the Messiah will come, and when he does come, he will teach us. And Jesus tells that Samaritan woman, you know, forthright, I am he, the one talking with you. I am the Messiah. It's a beautiful chapter. So if you're thinking that the Messiah will come later in the future, notice there, right? Jesus says he's the Messiah. Chapter 3 is the story of Nicodemus with Jesus. Beautiful story. They get into a conversation, and Jesus tells him that you have to be born again. And out of that verse comes this most famous Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 6 is a very interesting encounter where Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life. And he says, if anyone will drink my blood, which is drink in it, and eat my flesh, which is meat in it, he shall not die. And there's about 64 verses in that chapter. A very interesting encounter where Jesus is talking about himself as the savior of the world. And you can read that. John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. Cool chapters. Chapter 15, verse 1 to 8 is very nice verses where Jesus talks about himself as being the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he will take it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he will purchase it, that it may bring forth fruit. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except he abided in the branch, in the vine, no more can he, except you abide in me. So, those are some of those cool verses, chapters, and it pays well to memorize them. Read them from time to time. And chapter 16. Okay, number 3. So we started with beautiful books. Number 1, number 2, cool chapters. And number 3, I call it the voucher verses. I say this because voucher is something that you can go down to Woolies. If someone gives you a voucher, or you sometimes buy a voucher and present it to your friends, you just go in and cash it. Cash it on the spot, and you get the things that you want. These are verses that you can cash on the spot. You can exchange. It's like a transaction. You claim it, and you can have it on the spot. So I call it voucher verses. but before I get into voucher verses, like this particular verse is a very beautiful verse that Peter has written, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. All right? The Bible is full of great, exceedingly great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When we live on the word of God, we partake of the divine nature. That's what this verse says. And without realizing, you become divine-like. You become a spirit being. You become divine-like because you are living on the word of God. And the Bible says that just to live by faith. It's living on the word of God. And this is the verse that is telling us that we are given, you know, we are giving exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, God doesn't lie, you see, and when God promises to do something, he does it. That's why there are many promises in Scripture, which I call the voucher verses, which you have to know, because in the time of trouble, in the time of need, you actually can cash it. It's like a voucher. You get into the shop, cash it on the spot, and you can present the promises in your prayers to the Lord, and you can exchange it on the spot. You can cash it, whatever you want, whatever you need. All you have to do is present a voucher, and there you go. God will give you whatever is promised. That by this you become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, some of the voucher verses I've listed here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Sorry, it's not duet. It's pardon me for that. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments unto a thousand generations. Did you get that? It's one of those beautiful verses that I've recorded in memory. I love it. It says, know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. In other words, there is no other God. If you're thinking that there is other gods in this world, in this universe, no, there isn't any. There's only one God. It's the true God of Israel, and is the God that we are serving right now. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God is a faithful God, which giveth covenant and mercy with them that love him. If you're a person who loves the Lord, this is the verse. He will be faithful to you because you love him and keep his commandments unto a thousand generations. So that's a beautiful verse there. Another voucher verse is like Joshua chapter, I'm trying to plug one from every book. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, observe to do according to all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou will have good success. So that's a voucher verse you can cash on the spot. I mentioned Judges chapter 8, verse 28. You can check that out. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. That's a voucher verse. You can cash it on the spot. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. There's another one there. You can read that. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal to? God says that. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 to 13. Those are other verses that you can memorize them. And of course, there are some other verses like Psalms chapter 40, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You know, that's a voucher verse where you can cash it on the spot. Call unto me in the time of trouble. I will save you and thou will glorify me. Psalms 50:15. That's another promise. God has promised to all of us to call unto him in the day of trouble. So there's a lot of verses in Scripture, which I couldn't put it on screen today because there's too many of them. If you go down into the ABC bookshop, or you go down to Kurong Books, they're selling some of those little boxes with which they call promise boxes. I'd encourage you to buy those boxes and read it in family worships. Those are the verses that I'm actually talking about. Those are individual promises which God has made in Scripture, which in the time of trouble, in the time of need, you could actually cash it on the spot, like vouchers. You can cash it, go straight to him, present it to him, and then you believe that you're going to receive it and God will supply it. So those verses. Now, this is the fourth part, and it's the final part to our study today. It's memorizing verses. How do you memorize verses? That's the difficult part. Now, experts will tell us how to memorize stuff. My memory is not good, so I spend a lot of time to memorize, but I've learned some little skills in memorizing scripture, and I'll just say one or two of them with you today. Like, if you want to memorize scripture, for instance, same number of verses means verses with the same chapter number and the same verse number. For instance, Jeremiah 33:3. It's easy to remember. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Okay? Matthew 7:7. Same number of verses. All right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door of heaven will be open unto you. All right? Matthew 6:6. When thou prayest, go to thy room, go to thy closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father which is in secret, when he sees you praying in secret, will reward thee openly. It says something like that, but let me try to read it as the way Scripture says it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. So you see, that's another way to remember. Same number of verses, like John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I'd like to give you an homework. Try to go into the scripture and try to find those verses which are very unique. They're voucher verses, maybe. And they have the same chapter number and the same verse number. So that's one way in which you can memorize scripture, because it's easy to remember because the numbers are the same. Another one I would say is like acronyms. Try to form some acronyms. For instance, Matthew 7:7. Okay? Matthew 7:7. I said ask, okay? The acronym of ask. You would notice that it's easy to remember that verse, because if you follow that principle of ask or acronym, you start with hey, it says ask and you shall receive. The next one is has, seek and you shall find. And the third one is knock, which starts with K. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. So sometimes try to form acronyms on a verse. The acronyms will actually help you. Even I found it has actually helped me in memorizing an entire chapter, just from acronyms. So try to form acronyms like this one, Matthew 7:7. It's a simple example, but you notice that you remember HASK, and that's it. If you can remember HASK, A stands for ask, S stands for seek, K stands for knock. And there you go. You'll remember the verse. Okay. The other third one, I call it the flip verses. The flip verses is like, if you forget a verse, you try to flip that verse around. Like Leviticus 23 and verse 32. Verse 32 is the flip side of 23. You flip it around, it gives you 32. So, for instance, Leviticus 23:32, the last part of that verse says, "Ye shall celebrate my Sabbaths from evening unto evening." In other words, when I talk about Sabbath, and when I share about Sabbath, sometimes I forget some of the many Sabbath verses. But this one helps me because it's a flip verse. So when I come to Leviticus 23, it's the flip side of it. So I turn it around, it gives you 32, and it makes me remember the verse quickly. So Sabbath is a time in which we celebrate. To those, I taught about Sabbath last week on in our Bible classes, and a lot of people think that Sabbath is a time that you sit in your rooms like you're sitting in a prison, in a cell, without doing anything, waiting for the sun to set. And then you said, hooray, the sun is set. I'll better come out and do something else. Now, Sabbath is a time for celebrations. That verse says that it's a time that we celebrate and rejoice in the Lord. Another flip verse is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So if you flip, it's a tricky one. It's not really a flip one, but it's a tricky one. Like if you turn 9 around, it gives you 6. So I try to use that as a principle as well. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So think about some of the flip verses that you can remember. Chapters, but if you can't remember the verse, try to use this flip verse, the opposite. Connection verses. Another one that, this is the final one, which I want to say, connection verses. Sometimes you want to connect a verse to another verse because they're interesting and they're like. For instance, like Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know ye therefore the Lord thy God, he is God." That statement is God. Okay, we don't know what God looks like. But Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9 actually gives you what that God looks like. In the visions of Daniel, he saw God the Father, and he described him. And this is one of those very beautiful description of God the Father, because the Son is described later in that verse where it says, "I saw the Son of Man coming," towards the last few verses there. But let me read verse 9. He said, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Every time I read Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it reminds me of Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. "Know it therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God." That verse, "he is God," means that there is no other God. The God of Israel is the only God. And that verse reminds me of Daniel 7, 7. You notice these two verses are 7, 7? So when I flip over to Daniel 7, 7, it describes that God. In the vision, Daniel sees that God and he says, "I saw that great God," and he describes him as the Ancient of Days. He looked like old. He looked like he belonged to sometime, you know, long ago. You know, he existed from time immemorial, from long, 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 long time ago. And so he used the word Ancient of Days. And he said his garment was white as wool, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was in a fiery flame, and the wheels as burning fire. Verse 10 says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands upon thousands ministered to him. 10,000 upon 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open." Okay? So, connection verses. This is one good example of connection verses. It just connects you. It connects you. Anyway, there's a couple more, but I'll share it next time in my TED session, and when we get into that. But for now, I'd like to end our Bible studies today. We've come to the end. Just remember, Bible bites, beautiful books, cool chapters, and voucher verses. Voucher verses are very important in prayer meetings. When we are praying and we are asking the Lord for a certain blessing, we've been given vouchers already. All you have to do is cash in. Search for those verses and claim those verses by faith, and it will be ours. And finally, to memorize the Bible scripture is a very important part of mastering the Bible. I don't expect you to memorize everything, but I've given you some little steps, ways to memorize scripture. Well, I thank you all for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed this short session. And I look forward next time to another session. We will continue on part 3. But for now, I wish you all the best, and may God bless you as you meditate and contemplate on the stuff that we have learned today. I'll close with a word of prayer. I just ask you to bow your heads as I hope for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us to master the Bible. I've touched a little bit on Bible bites, on the beautiful books, on cool chapters, and on voucher verses, which is very important in our Christian life. And on memorizing scripture, I've touched a few things. I'll continue that in our next session. But for now, I want to thank you for being with us. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher. And wherever I failed, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help our Bible students. We thank you for this set of blessings, and we look forward to it another time. Until then, keep us safe, intact in faith, and I pray as your Bible students are studying through the scripture that you will help them to find the Bible enriching to their own spiritual life. We thank you for hearing this prayer, and we thank you for answering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless. Bye-bye.